Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday. As soon as the leaves begin to show their true colors, I start to salivate for the fragrance and flavors of a traditional Thanksgiving feast shared with family and friends. It's an easy and relatively inexpensive meal to prepare. Compared to the coming holiday, it is far less stressful. No spending hours decorating the house only to tear it all down a week later. No fretting over who to gift and what to gift and how much to gift. And do people still send out and expect a card via snail mail? Thanksgiving is a wonderful annual gathering of loved ones where we express our gratitude for all life's blessings, not the least of which are family and friends. What is gratitude? My uncle Jess Stein, back in the last century, was editor-in-chief of an unabridged dictionary of the English language for Random House. He defined the noun gratitude as the quality or feeling of being grateful or thankful. Grateful is an adjective, and since adjectives are descriptors, Jess wrote a longer description for grateful. Warmly or deeply appreciative of kindness or benefits received. The synonyms that follow emphasize that part of being grateful is to express one's gratitude to the benefactor. Gratitude implies a benefactor, something or someone responsible for the kindness we have received. All of us have experienced, at the very least, small acts of loving kindness and compassion from other people. The benefactor is obvious, even if it is the scientist we never knew who discovered a drug that saved our life, or the unknown school volunteer who has helped our child work through a difficult lesson. Theists feel gratitude to a beneficent higher being, God or the universe or the spirit of nature, for their existence, life in the universe. Greta Christina, in her blog, suggests that atheists cannot truly be grateful for a benefactor they do not believe exists, but instead are very aware of their good fortune to exist and enjoy the beauty of life and the wonders of the universe. Awareness of the good things in your life, regardless of where they come from, is the first step and central to the notion of gratitude. Next, we must express our thanks to the benefactor for small and large acts of loving kindness and compassion we have received. If we can identify that individual or organization, we should directly express our thanks. If the benefactor is a higher being or spirit, then express your gratitude through prayer, the rituals of your faith, or meditation. Ultimately, the practice of gratitude requires that we pass along the acts of loving kindness and compassion to others. The gratitude or good fortune we feel for our existence, life, and the wonders of nature and the universe compel us to work to protect and preserve these things. Can expressing gratitude on a daily basis affect our lives, and if so, how? Before the 1980s, psychology research focused on clinical and emotional problems. Suddenly, researchers started looking at what makes happy, well-adjusted people so happy and well-adjusted. Maybe those of us perpetually down in the dumps, emotionally stressed out, or suffering from panic attacks could be taught how to be happy. Peer-reviewed journals are now full of studies showing that meditation, mindfulness, yoga, ordinary exercise, a healthy diet, and the conscious practice of gratitude can, in some cases, be as or even more effective than drugs without those nasty possible side effects, which during a TV ad generally end with a voice rapidly stating and may, in rare cases, cause death. Scientists might not have recognized the benefits of gratitude until just 30 years ago, but every religion recognizes the importance of expressing gratitude. Polytheistic faiths express thanks through rituals to a multitude of gods who each have a different role in keeping mankind alive and well. Jews thank Yahweh through prayers of gratitude, benedictions spoken throughout the day for the multitude of his gifts. Christians are grateful to Jesus for the great sacrifice he made on their behalf and they too are asked to give thanks, to show their gratitude. And the Quran demands that Muslims give thanks to Allah and express their gratitude to Him. In Unitarian Universalism, theists, those who recognize a God, atheists, those convinced there is no such thing, and agnostics, those who just don't know, are all welcome. We do not share a dogma that demands we obey commandments which are at the heart of Judaism. Nor are we told to bring Jesus into our hearts in order to enjoy eternal salvation, as Christians are. Nor are we told we must submit to the will of God as written by Muhammad. Reverend Galen Gugerich says that the central discipline of Unitarian Universalism ought to be gratitude. Heartfelt gratitude ought to yield some kind of engagement, participation, commitment, and action. From this recognition of dependence flows what he calls an ethic of gratitude, which demands that we nurture the world that nurtures us. A large number of studies have shown that cultivating an attitude of gratitude and consciously practicing gratitude in our daily lives has a substantial impact on our emotions and even our physical health. Research indicates that people who practice gratitude, who express their thanks, not just to nature, God, or family and friends who are no longer alive, but to people currently in their lives, are measurably happier and are more pleasant to be around. They tend to be physically healthier as well. Practicing gratitude can be difficult when the inevitable trials and tribulations of life confront us. Like meditation, exercise, and mindfulness, the practice of gratitude is a discipline. Robert Emmons outlines ways to develop a gratitude practice. Keep a journal in which you jot down one or two specific events, things, or people for which you were grateful that day. Recall the worst events from your past. By remembering how terrible things were, you will start to appreciate how much better your life is right now. Try the Buddhist meditation technique of Nikan, a method for becoming introspective by asking three questions on a regular basis. What have I received from someone? What have I given to someone? What troubles and difficulties have I caused someone? The first two questions will need no explanation. Of the third, Emmons writes, the last step is a difficult one, of acknowledging not the things that bother us, but how we cause pain in the lives of others by our thoughts, words, and deeds. If we are not willing to see and accept those events in which we have been the source of others' suffering, then we cannot truly know ourselves or the grace by which we live. If you pray or meditate, incorporate words of gratitude into this daily practice. Express thanks every day, or be conscious of your good fortune, for your beautiful, magnificent body, for your breath and your beating heart and your senses that bring the world, the universe, to your awareness. Sooner or later, our bodies begin to fail. But if we have our breath, a beating heart, and are conscious and aware, we have much for which to be thankful. Post visual pithy phrases to help remind you to be grateful and to express your gratitude, especially to other people. Gratefulness is a social endeavor. Surround yourself with people who are grateful and shy away from those who lack this virtue. There is scientific evidence that language can shape attitude. Individuals who reach astonishing ages tend to be grateful to other individuals and see themselves as having had fortunate and happy lives. Engage in positive self-talk and do not let a negative ego dominate your thoughts. There is scientific evidence that even if you do not feel a specific emotion, pasting an expression on your face will trick your brain into releasing the hormones associated with the emotion this expression represents. The act of smiling triggers the happy part of the brain and releases happy hormones like oxytocin. Frowning triggers a different area and releases the stress hormone cortisol. The act of forcing a thank you can trigger the emotion of gratitude and the resulting helpful benefits, which include the creation and strengthening of neural pathways that will reinforce the behavior, thus leading to the more frequent release of happy, healthy hormones. Be grateful to those whom you help. People who volunteer often express how grateful they are for the opportunity to help others, as it just makes them so happy. One Buddhist ideal is to be grateful to those who have harmed you. This is a tough one that can take a long time to cultivate. To quote Robert Emmons, by practicing the gifts of the moment, gratitude frees us from past regrets and future anxieties. By cultivating gratefulness, we are freed from envy over what we don't have or who we are not. It doesn't make life perfect, but with gratitude comes the realization that right now, in this moment, we have enough, we are enough.
Deepak Chopra writes, gratitude opens the door to the power, the wisdom, the creativity of the universe. You open that door through gratitude. Our modern society teaches us many things, but learning to incorporate gratitude into our lives is not part of the daily playbook. We are told to want, to get, to conquer, to own, to control, to need, and to bleed in order to have it all. We are encouraged to use things and people in any way necessary to get to the top. We are bombarded by images in the media that suggest that we should not age or experience loss. Our personal independence is presented to be one of the most important values to cultivate. What's a human to do? Today we are gathered together to consider how, while we can maintain a realistic view about life's challenges, hardships, and failures, we can also embark on a journey towards beginning a practice by which we can choose to live more joyfully in a chaotic world. Gratitude is the tool that transformed my personal experience. My gratitude story began in high school when, as a socially awkward teen, I learned to drink alcohol. The first time I tried it, I got totally obliterated at my sister's wedding. Not good. I didn't really like it, but it came in handy sometimes to blend in at parties and to fend off some of the more aggressive guys I dated. I started smoking pot a year later, and oh Lord, that was my fit. I used a number of psychedelic substances in college, and they were quite educational, but I moved that past that phase in time. I have walked a crooked path in life, had heartbreak and joy, and through it all, I used constantly, but was always able to function and find success in a career I loved. Life seemed to get harder as things went along, and I didn't develop the way I had hoped. Most lessons came to me through loss, pain, confusion. I never seemed to find balance in my mind. My external life was actually filled with many wonderful people, places, and experiences, but I missed the connection within my soul. More and more, whenever I needed to shut down, I turned to my personal agents of solace. Everything became an excuse to use. Most of those who knew and loved me didn't really see me as an addict and an alcoholic. But I knew I had lost my guiding light. In 2011, I came to a personal crossroad in my life, a point where I knew my life had become unmanageable. I began to seek change through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. Learning and practicing the steps in order to reclaim my life from addiction and self-destructive behaviors has been a journey from delusional thinking, self-pity, feelings of hopelessness and disregard for honesty, towards faith, forgiveness, and action. I went through an intensive period of learning how to accept life as it is, not what I thought it should be. Through readings, meetings, working the 12 steps, and prayerful contemplation, I try to practice these principles in all areas of my daily life and to cultivate spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. The most empowering mantra used in the 12-step recovery is the following. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I invite everyone to incorporate these simple concepts to navigate and celebrate our process of living. The amazing thing about the process of seeking sobriety is that it is uplifting, often humorous, and is equal parts tears and joy. Gratitude is at the heart of this picture. When we learn to embrace a way of life that allows us to widen our scope of acceptance of ourselves and others, we can release our death grip on trying to control everything around us and begin to find life's natural flow. We begin to care more about helping others than ourselves and find a deep happiness in doing so. Stepping into action brings life-affirming changes in individuals, families, communities, and the larger world. All of us are touched by many troubles in life. Substance abuse, if it does not touch you or your family, all of us know someone who is struggling with this affliction. Please be gentle with them, but encourage them to reach out, because the biggest hurdle to getting help is thinking you have to do it alone. We need each other. And I can't tell you how much this church has helped me in developing a new life. I am joyous, happy, and free. I hope sharing part of my personal history might be valuable in some way on all our journeys.
This ends the sermon. To hear the polylog, check out the full service on the members-only section of the website.